You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making this part of your regular routine. Whatever it is that you're doing, wherever you're going, we thank you for taking us along and making us part of your Celtics experience. We are the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales here by myself because I have spoken to New York Times reporter Sopan Deb about his big interview with Kyrie Irving. It published on Friday and made a big splash on Friday. Basically, the headline says it all. Kyrie Irving doesn't know if the earth is round or flat. He does want to discuss it. And discuss it he did, in detail. It's a great interview. I suggest going to the New York Times and searching for that. Sopan does great work. He's been really making a big splash lately, talking to the cast of Arrested Development, talking to Kyrie. He's really all over the New York Times, and he's a lifelong Celtics fan. So interesting stuff here. I had an opportunity to talk to him about Kyrie, the importance of this, and why, even though we don't care if he thinks the world is round or flat, like who cares if he wants to think that, but there is a reason for him to really consider why he should maybe not be taking this particular stand on this particular topic. And we get into that. We dive into how he might be a little Rondo-ish. We talk about Rajon Rondo, get into that discussion. And then how does this type of mindset, how does Kyrie's attitude, his desire to be kind of, I don't know, out there, for lack of a better term, how does that impact his future in Boston? What's he going to want to do after his contract is up? How does this mentality, how does his mind state impact that? Does it impact his teammates? We get into all of that. So here's my conversation with friend of the podcast, New York Times reporter Sopan Deb. So just when you thought the flat earth stuff was gone, you go ahead and get this interview with Kyrie Irving, and it's back. So
happy to be of service, Joe.
From your take, you talk to him. Is he trolling? Is he like trying to be deep but latching onto the wrong thing? What is he doing here?
Well, to me, whether he's trolling or not, that's besides the point. It doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter whether he's trolling because, you know, as I brought up to him multiple times in the interview, you know, there are concrete cases of, you know, young people that believe what he's saying about this. Do I think he truly believes the earth is flat? I mean, he himself said he doesn't believe the earth is flat. He just said he doesn't know that it's round either. It seemed to me that his big thing was, well, we should all do our own research and, you know, blah, 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 which is fine. I can understand that. He's saying that, you should not accept, you know, things that authority figures say on their face. And okay, I can understand that. But this particular thing of the earth being round or flat is not a debate. It's settled science. You know what I mean?
Right.
So whether he's trolling or not, to me, is besides the point. The fact of the matter is he's one of the most popular basketball players in the world. He's now about to star in his own feature film. He wants to own a television network one day, something he said to me in the interview. So his words hold, I think, greater responsibility than simply just, oh, I have this quirky, you know, I want to have a debate about whether the earth is round or flat. There's real world consequences to it. So it doesn't really matter whether he's trolling or not to me. You know what I mean?
Right, right. No, that's, and I guess that's an important point here, because you hammered him a lot on this, just to try and get to that point of what you're saying is, I forget, did you use the word dangerous or, but there is some level of danger. Not to be overly dramatic about this, but you have kids who say, no, I don't believe the earth is round just because he's saying it. And I don't want to make this a whole big thing, but here it is again, that everybody seems to react when Kyrie says something like this or talks about this topic. To have kids believe it because he, or at least espouses the possibility, that sets, I'm sure, some teachers back.
Sure. I mean, especially today in 2018 when, you know, reporters and teachers and other people in kind of academic institutions are trying so hard to push back against fake news. And there's this kind of this – we're in this era where science is being questioned. It seems like way more than it has been in recent decades. So I think the Kyrie comments, it's not just a basketball, it's not like people react to Kyrie because he's just some random person off the street. He is a huge figure in basketball, and because of the pedestal that we put on professional athletes in our society, his words have meaning, his words have weight. And I think and that's why those comments were so noteworthy. I also found it interesting that he was willing to engage on it. To be honest, I didn't expect him to talk about it as much as he did. But we spoke for a little bit more than a half hour. And in that time, he was most engaged in talking about the flat earth stuff, to be honest with you.
So, yeah. So you were talking to him in what capacity? You got the interview because of what the Uncle Drew stuff, I assume.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so you get into it, you talk about his goals, which he says, I have other desires, other interests. Acting is something, being behind the scenes. He talks about production, he talks about owning his own TV network, he talks about all that stuff. So he's a very interesting guy for a number of reasons. He doesn't need this crap to be interesting, but yeah, the meat of what you were talking about really was the debate. And it's, like you said, not that the earth is flat or that it's round. It's the fact that he wants people to, I guess, question things.
He wants people to question things. I think he questions things. Now, how that translates to him as a teammate and a basketball player, I'm legitimately curious about. Like, I'm curious how – and I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but I'm legitimately curious how that translates to practices and play calling and how he views the court, right? And it was actually very reminiscent of, I think, how Rondo viewed the basketball court. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, constantly questioning everything. You know, kind of always just being a little bit, you know, there were times where Rondo would troll reporters too, you might remember. I think there were a couple of documented instances where Rondo would, you know, tell reporters that he's not playing tonight because of injury. Then he just randomly show up, even though he knew the whole time that he was playing. And then the Connect Four stuff. And it reminded me a little bit of that, except way past that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But see, Rondo, I think, is different in that Rondo, at least when it comes to basketball, is legitimately smarter than everybody. He's like Sheldon Cooper. He's basically very dismissive of everybody around him because he knows he's so much smarter than everybody.
And can I stop you there for a second? Can I stop you there for a second? I agree with you that Rondo's a very smart basketball player. But isn't a part of being intelligent on the court is knowing when to be able to be coached and when sometimes and to take be able to accept being able to accept instructions? Like,
absolutely.
In the case In the case of Rondo, it seems like part of what has held him back in the league is his stubbornness and unwillingness to accept guidance from, you know, Rick Carlisle, who is a championship-winning coach who played on several championship teams, or I don't remember if it was several, but at least one. You know, whether it was Doc Rivers or whether it was, you know, the list goes kind of on and on. It's not like it was one coach that Rondo clashed with. It was many, many coaches.
Sure.
So isn't it also an indication of basketball IQ?
Yeah. Look, there's no doubt that part of what held him back is that, like you said, this level of disdain that he has for people who aren't smart enough to see what he sees, that really bothers him. And it's why he got along very well with, like, Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett is one of those guys that sees everything, knows everybody's plays, knows everything about everybody. Like, there's a great Rondo story from Scalabrine the other day saying was Mark Jackson? Mark Jackson called out a play.
It was Mark Jackson
in Golden State, and he was calling out some play like, blah, 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 24. And Rondo goes, you don't have blah, 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 24. Like, it's supposed to be a smokescreen. But Rondo, like, just knew that that's not one of your plays. You haven't. So, yeah. When you're that smart. Like, that's why I use that Sheldon Cooper analogy. Because just it's part of that level of disdain, that comical level of disdain that he has. Like, I've seen it. I've been Rondo'd trying to talk to him. Because you ask a question that you're like, you know, when you're asking questions, you don't lead in with the hardball questions. You work your way up to the tougher questions. So you start with the crappy softballs, and they get into it, and then, like, you get into the, oh, so why did you, you know, do this thing that I think is wrong, and then get that explanation. You don't. So
Rondo always struck me as the kind of interview where he didn't suffer fools. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're a reporter that didn't come prepared and are asking him stupid questions,
he's down right away.
He's not gonna waste his time on you.
Right.
You know?
But and this brings us back. Let's bring it back to Kyrie, because I don't think Kyrie's that same level. Not to say that Kyrie's not as smart as Rondo, because to be an NBA point guard, you have to be pretty smart. But I don't think that's what this is necessarily. I think this is trying to find, like, this new level of consciousness. Like, he's not trying to be smarter than everybody in the same way that Rondo just sees things differently and has a depth of understanding that's beyond comprehension. Kyrie is trying to be very Phil Jackson, Zen, take you to places you didn't even know existed. Not be smarter, but to, like, try to expand your mind to, like, think of things differently.
And the closest thing I can see on the basketball court where that really applies to on Kyrie, no one handles the ball or finishes like Kyrie. So I wonder if when he's practicing, that thing transfers over where he is trying to do things differently in a way that has not been done before. And I wonder if that's how his brain operates. And I just don't know. And I don't think anyone knows. And as I said before, I don't know if it matters. You know, I just don't know if it matters. Ultimately, I do think that, you know, I'm curious how much more he engages on this. I'm curious what, like, the sponsors think, and I'm curious what his teammates and coaches think. You know, I don't know.
He seems to have a connection with Jaylen Brown. Brown's in there.
Jaylen Brown spoke at Harvard.
Yeah.
You know, this is Jaylen Brown spoke at Harvard. But I got to wonder if Jaylen's, you know, in the locker room, you're like, what the hell, man? Kyrie, my man. You know, like, or is the flip, is suddenly, and I'm not saying this, I have no evidence of this, but is Jaylen's, I mean, are we going to be at the end of next year saying, you know, after Kyrie leaves the Celtics, let's say a championship, is Jaylen going to be like, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with Kyrie about it, and you know what, he's right. We should be thinking. I don't know. And that's where, because we're in this era, I think, where this kind of misinformation can make people think differently. And that's where it's so concerning. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I think we're at a point where people confuse thinking differently with thinking intelligently. And you can think differently, but if you're like, you could be different but stupid.
Yeah.
And I think this flat earth thing, like, I can appreciate what Kyrie is trying to say with, you know, when he talks about concrete facts versus popular opinions and, you know, all of that stuff. I think that he's latched onto the wrong thing, that he somehow on Instagram landed on a flat earth conspiracy theory and said, oh, I never thought of it this way.
Right. Like,
yeah, there's no shit you didn't think of it this way because it's a stupid way to think.
Right, right. I mean, the other thing that was kind of interesting, and in hindsight, you know, I didn't read much into the answer, but other people did, was I asked him about being a Celtic long term.
Yes.
And he kind of didn't say much. He was just kind of like, I'll have a better answer for you, you know, in the future. I'm just, want to be present for now. I know that question's going to come up a lot. And he didn't say much on it. And that's why I didn't think much of it, because, you know, it makes sense to me that he wouldn't say much. He's a free agent for another year, right? Like, he's not going to say, at least to me, it wouldn't make sense for him to say to me right now, oh yeah, no, I'm going to re-sign with the Celtics right away. Like, of course he's not. I don't think he's going to say that. I think he's going to, you know, but a lot of other people, you know, a lot of the blogs, a lot of the, you know, Celtics fans kind of picked that up and they kind of ran with it as if it's like this moment where Kyrie is now questioning, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, I'm sorry to interrupt, but like you also had the bad timing of Chris Mannix put out a piece quoting Cleveland people from when he was looking to get traded. He was looking at the Knicks as a potential landing spot.
Yeah,
and
right.
You had a very fresh report from Mannix that the Celtics may be afraid that Kyrie's going to leave in free agency. So that's out there. And then you come in with Kyrie and all of this stuff, and you drop the non-answer to, are you going to be here long term? And he doesn't say, I'm going to be here long term. And now people are taking it as 2 + 2 when it's not.
Right.
There's just, it's two random things that happen to happen in quick succession. But when people see it,
you know what? Let me tell you, I'm not doubting Chris Mannix's sourcing at all. I'm sure, you know, people are thinking, but you know what the truth is? A year from now is an eternity, as our old friend Isaiah Thomas found out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, like, Kyrie, they may very well have his eye on the Knicks right now. Or, I mean, and I'm not, this has point, this has 0% chance of happening, Danny Ainge might say, hey, Kyrie, sign and trade for LeBron. There's just so much that can happen between now and next year, let's say maybe a Celtics championship, before we start saying, hey, Kyrie's not coming back, or before the Celtics fans start panicking too much about, you know, what Kyrie is or isn't thinking, you know?
Sure, yeah. Well, look, that's absolutely true. A year is a long time. A full season's a long time. We don't know what's going to happen. Look at how we were a year ago. A year ago today, they still had Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, and they hadn't even signed Gordon Hayward yet. That feels like forever ago.
Is that true? Have they not? Oh my gosh, you're right. They had not signed Hayward yet. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This year felt like 8 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long time. So we know a lot of things can happen. LeBron having a conversation with the Celtics is an interesting little wrinkle. A lot of energy has been put into it, more energy than I wish I had put into it. But, you know, when LeBron says he's going to have a conversation with the team, you're obligated to find out how that might go. So it's possible that the Celtics might say, oh, all right, well, see you, Kyrie. We're going to bring in LeBron. We're going to have Marcus Smart be the point guard, and we're going to go this way. And it's been 1 year of Kyrie and goodbye. That's like a 1% chance, a minuscule chance, but –
yeah, that's right.
It's right. A chance, I guess. But so
yeah. With all the uncertainty, like I wouldn't expect Kyrie to give me a better answer than that, because he doesn't know what the Celtics are going to do all this offseason.
No, but you know, people expect that stock answer of like, well, of course I'd like to be here long term, but we'll see what's going to happen, blah, blah. He didn't even give you the stock answer. And that's, I think, what people are getting at.
But it's not like, you know, it's not like he was drafted by the Celtics. He played, what, 60 games for the Celtics? I guess I just wouldn't even expect the stock answer from him. He's not like a homegrown player. You know, he spent more time beating the Celtics in his career than like being a Celtic. He's a free agent in a year. It's not like he has these close tie to the community in the way – it's not like he had an Isaiah Thomas like run in that – you know what I mean? It's not like – that bond doesn't exist with Kyrie and the fan base, you know, and the fan base. It doesn't. And that doesn't mean he's not a dazzling player. It doesn't mean he didn't play well this year. He played incredibly well. It doesn't mean Celtics fans don't want him back, although I think there is a genuine sense of frustration because of the flat earth stuff and like just the kind of weird, you know, some of the weirdness of it, you know. It reminds me a little bit of, do you remember Carl Everett?
Oh yeah, the no dinosaurs didn't exist.
Yeah, I mean it you know, I whereas Isaiah, you know, he's Isaiah a little different, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't expect him to sit there and be like, oh, I'm 100% committed to staying with the Celtics long term, or oh yeah, I'm leaning towards the Celtics, or I'd like to stay with the Celtics long term, but we'll see what happens. I just wouldn't expect – it wouldn't be honest. I think we all know that wouldn't be honest. You know, like we as fans have to understand that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and this is where we tie everything together, I think, with this interview and his mentality and going forward. Kyrie's answers in your interview are indicative of Kyrie's mindset, which is just not – it's not what is quote-unquote normal. He's not going to give stock answers to most things. He's not – and I guess when it comes to his impending free agency, the one fear that I have, it's that he's not thinking – even like you would say, you think like a fan, you think like a player. He's thinking like Kyrie. And if he wins a championship
– Yeah, right.
You know, like – so he wins a championship and you say, this is perfect. Of course you re-sign. Now, of course he'll opt out and try to get more money and get a longer-term contract. But the conventional wisdom is you just won a title. Everybody's coming back. You have the potential to win a second championship, maybe more. Why not stick around in this situation? But Kyrie, Mr. I want to expand my brain, might say, all right, I've ascended to this mountaintop. Now off to the next challenge and expanding my brain. Can I do this as the only good player? Can I lift it? There's a fear that's possible.
Right.
Or maybe he'll say, I've done everything I want to do. Now I just want to play for my hometown team and I want to go play for the Knicks. Like he could just be like, that's it. I just want to play near New Jersey.
Listen, that may happen, right? And that may happen. And then I, you know, the part of me would say, okay, well, you know, a rookie Jason Tatum took the Celtics to the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, like that's how I would rationalize it.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that would be great or that would be like what I root for. I'm saying of all the teams losing their best player, like the Celtics as a fan base have the most kind of cushion. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, totally.
And so I think I would not lose that much sleep, you know, especially because this kind of stuff, like, you know, the flat earth stuff is the kind of, you know, off court distraction that can, you know, that can alienate a fan base.
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, I don't know that Boston fans care. I mean, I certainly don't care. Like getting you on the show today to talk about your piece isn't to get like the clear the air of like, let's attack Kyrie for thinking everything. Like, I don't give a shit what he thinks.
Right.
What I care about as a fan, as an observer of watching this guy, I just want to go out there and break guys' ankles on the court and have those really pretty plays that we got to watch on GIFs over and over again and, like, slap each other on the shoulder going, oh, my God, did you see what he just did? Like, I don't care if he thinks that. Who was it that said that bigger people had dinosaurs as pets? I forget which player said that this season.
I don't remember that. Actually.
Oh, my God. I'm drawing a total blank on it. But somebody said, God damn it. I'll figure it out later. But somebody said that he thinks, dinosaurs existed, but he thinks bigger people had them as pets. Some stupid thing like that. I don't even care if he thinks that you could if he thinks Jurassic World is a documentary. Like, I don't care. As long as he goes out there and performs, but it
the documentary.
I guess when we're talking about how he responded to your questions,
Yeah.
It's right. What are we, like, how do we take that, how do we distill that into the type of decision making that Kyrie has? Like, what his, it's nonlinear. It's not like the, like, decision making you and I, you know, the processes that we have. He's got grander goals. He's got bigger ideas.
Yeah. And so, and I will also say, it seems to me, out of all the professional sports, the NBA has the players by far with the most off the field, off the court interests. Do you know? So, like, you know, LeBron has his production company that's doing House Party. Kobe Bryant just won an Oscar. I think Baron Davis was up for an Oscar. Iguodala, I think, has a production company, and he had that project with Cheddar. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, it goes back decades. I mean, Michael Jordan did Space Jam. It seems to me, I mean, Russell Westbrook has the fashion stuff. It seems to me basketball has, I mean, look at Jaylen Brown. I mean, he has a lot of off the court. I mean, you know, he wanted to learn how to play the piano and he wants to do all this other stuff. It's interesting to me that the NBA seems to draw players to do stuff away from the NBA more so than any other sport. Do you think I'm right on that?
I think there's something to that, sure. Because, well, football players, football is such a long season, a brutal season, and everybody's wearing helmets, so it's hard to recognize people. Like, right. It's hard to kind of know who everybody is. And there's so many players that it's always the quarterback, and then that's it. A few wide receivers, a few running backs.
Yeah.
But, you know,
right.
Baseball players, I don't know. They don't have the same opportunity that basketball players do to be superstars, because, like, David Ortiz is a superstar, and he's got some level of national notoriety, like, for the casual fan. But the difference between baseball and basketball is when you're down three and it's the bottom of the ninth and the bases are loaded, you have to hope it's his turn to come up to bat. Whereas when LeBron, when you're down three and it's, or you've got Steph Curry or Kevin Durant, you just give them the ball and they have opportunity after opportunity to make the big play.
So right.
The formula is there for basketball. They're out there basically running around in their underwear. They're very recognizable. There's only five guys playing on each side at a time. And
they're playing most of the game.
Playing most of the game.
And they're involved in the action for most
absolutely.
Of the game.
Absolutely.
In baseball, that's obviously not the case. Hockey, you're playing, what, a third max of the game? I mean, you know, Ovechkin's not playing more than, you know, what, 10, 15 minutes a game? And that's not a knock on the athleticism of hockey players. I'm just saying factually. That's just what it is.
Yeah. So it's and hockey just doesn't resonate as much as other sports do.
Sure.
You know, so yeah, basketball has the right formula for stars to be made and be recognized. The highlights are easily consumed. A dunk on somebody is awesome and it takes 5 seconds. That's it. You know?
Yeah.
That's it. Like, you put the Jason Tatum dunk on LeBron James, you get a little crossover, boom, down the lane, bang. And that it was perfect for, like, when Vine was around. It's perfect for your Instagram videos. It's better than, like, even home runs take a long time and they're much more infrequent. So yeah, basketball definitely has an opportunity for guys like Kyrie and others to have these outside interests.
Yeah, I think that's right. And also I just think that that's also the culture of the NBA that really emphasizes individualism. Do you know, like it encourages, you know, Adam Silver in particular has encouraged players to be socially active, and I think that also plays into it a little bit, this notion of the players as individuals. Like, in the NBA, and some people might say this as a criticism, I personally don't, the NBA also markets its players as individuals more so than any other sport.
Totally.
Like, it's not you know, Joe Flacco versus Matt Ryan, you know what I mean? It's the Falcons versus the Ravens, you know? It's the Giants versus the Patriots. It's not Tom Brady versus Eli Manning. Whereas when it comes down to, you know, it was Magic versus Larry and MJ versus the world and LeBron, I mean, we were not talking about the Cavs as a team. We're talking about LeBron. And you can understand that because he, you know, because he's the best player in the world. But we're talking about individuals. And I think that also plays into, you know, Kyrie and other NBA players wanting to branch out outside of the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the NBA shift to individual marketing, that was a David Stern special back in the Larry Magic days. And mm-hmm. and that worked out perfectly. I mean, it's exactly it. It's exactly why people really came to fall in love with the NBA and why it went from tape delay. There wasn't even an interest in watching those games live to where we are now. And yeah, because it was Magic versus Larry. It is, you know, LeBron and the other Cavs with their Roomba as a point guard and versus the few big individuals with Golden State. I mean, really, it was versus Durant and versus Steph Curry. I mean, so when it comes back to Kyrie, here's a guy that spoke to you because of the feature film commercial that he made. You know, he made a commercial that's a feature film. And so he's got marketing, he's got acting, he's got writing and producing and all of that other stuff involved. He's got all of these outside interests. And he's also, for lack of a better term, kind of weird. So I guess let's bring it back to your piece. At the end of the piece, when you hung up the phone after a half hour conversation, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? Is it, holy shit, I can't believe that we went through all this? Or what's your impression of Kyrie post-interview?
As soon as I hung, let me put it this way. As soon as I hung up the phone, I ran over to the editor and I said, we need to get this piece up right away.
Yeah, of course. Is that why the piece was an interview style rather than column style? Was it always going to be the interview?
It was always going to be like that.
Okay.
It certainly was never going to be as long or as involved, I don't think, you know, because I already wrote a piece about Uncle Drew a couple weeks ago. Just about it being, kind of the Pepsi view of it and just how it came to be. But after I hung up the phone, I immediately, you know, was like, let's get this piece up right away. Cause I thought there would be significant interest in the story, you know, and after having that conversation, how could you not think that?
Of course. But like, so you're sitting there. Do you have that tinge of like, holy shit, this guy is kind of wild? Like,
I did not expect him to engage on the level that he did.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just did not, because he just seemed so much more animated about this than anything else. You know, I will admit that I was very surprised he engaged on this on the level that he did.
Okay. So, and again, I want to be clear. I think I'm not speaking for you, but I think you agree with me that this doesn't – it's not we're not criticizing Kyrie as a person for what he's doing necessarily.
Well, I don't know him as a person. You know right. what I mean? I don't know. I'm certainly not judging him as a person. Nor am I judging him at all, really. You know, right. But I do believe that there are real world consequences when you're constantly pushing this stuff.
Right.
You know, and so that's not me casting judgment on Kyrie as a person. I'm saying that when you are questioning established science and this isn't a debate, this is established science, I think that is problematic. Yes.
Yeah. I can buy that. I can buy that. That he needs to, I think, understand some of that, like again, back to the beginning of this conversation, the conversation with the school kids where teachers have to convince students, like, wait, no, the earth really is round. Like, people have gone up and seen it. Like, we've proven that. But I don't know. What do you say? It's so weird. It's so weird that this is the conversation. This is the thing. This is what everybody's like going crazy about. I'm most interested. Let me back up. I will say that your point, and it's nothing that I didn't think of it until your piece came out and you said it, that I used to think, like, so what, he thinks the earth is flat, or he wants to leave open the possibility. But when there are people that are looking at him as the guy that's providing so-called evidence, or it's like, hey, he thinks it, there's got to be something to it, there is something problematic about that.
Because it's not like you know, the kids in middle school are more likely to be like taking the views of scientists seriously. That's problematic, right? Like,
right.
They're on the playground talking about Kyrie. They're on the program. They're on the playground talking about, you know, their favorite actor and their favorite, you know, these, you know, it, among, you know, among younger people, I think, you know, it's science. It, you know, it doesn't, you know. I'm just saying basketball players, they hold a greater sway, I think, in professional athletes hold a greater sway than your textbooks do.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where I think some of the kind of consternation on this comes from.
Yeah. And so beyond that, so there's that element. And then beyond that, we have to figure out, or at least try to read the Kyrie tea leaves and say, well, okay, if he's thinking this way, he is going to be a free agent after this year. Like, this is potentially his second and final season with the Celtics. There's definitely that potential because he can opt out of a $20 million option, which in today's NBA is certainly not enough for Kyrie. So he will be looking for more money, because if he wants to start a production company, if he wants to start a TV network, he's going to have to front that somehow, and he's going to need to get some of that money. He's going to have to make his own money to pay for it. So you don't get that by taking hometown discounts. So there's going to be some level of the stuff that he talked about here and his mentality that's going to affect the Celtics next summer. He's probably going to ask for as much money as he can possibly get, which is, look, I've been on the side of players for all of that. Go get your money. But when you're trying to figure out, so where do the Celtics go, you know, beyond next season, that plays into it. The way he's thinking, his outside interests, all of that stuff, it plays into it.
Right. I think and let's see how his knees hold up too. I mean, I think that will also determine a lot of this. And so there's a lot of unknowns right now, and I think the better time to have a conversation about Kyrie's future with the Celtics is like in February, you know?
Yeah.
But I get that it's the offseason, we talk about something, but it's just too early to be worrying that much about Kyrie right now, unless there's this amazing trade offer that comes up, in which case, you know, we're off to the races here.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I've kept you long enough, but this is, you know, you certainly stirred things up with this interview. You're on fire, man. Between the Arrested Development cast and this one, you are like, when they talk about the butterfly flapping its wings and starting like hurricanes and stuff, like, you're flapping your wings, my man, because you got some high quality stuff and you're getting like 8 bylines a day in the New York Times. So
thank you, man. I appreciate it. I hope you're well.
All right, man. Thanks for stopping by for a little bit. We'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Bye.
A lot of great stuff there. And I really appreciate Sopan coming on. This is his second time on the podcast. He does great work. And if you are into pop culture, if you are into the Celtics, if you are into news of the day, political stuff, he is there with all of that on Twitter. It's at Sopan Deb, Sopan, S-O-P-A-N, Deb, D-E-B. He's a good guy. He's a great reporter. And he does really, really great work on the Times. And like I said, he really covers a lot. So I would highly recommend following him on Twitter if you don't. He's always interacting, and it's just does great work. And another great conversation. And Kyrie's an interesting cat, man. And look, I like the guy. I think, you know, from what I know of him, he's interesting. You can say that for sure. And I'm looking forward to him being back on the floor. And I hope that the tone of our conversation really kind of conveyed that there's no like animosity towards anybody for thinking things, even if it's something that I wouldn't think or I wouldn't, you know, take a stand on. But it's interesting. It's interesting when you are at this level of an influencer like Kyrie Irving is, And for a guy who has this varied of a desire to do a lot of different things, I worded that completely poorly, but whatever. The guy who has this many different interests, it's interesting. It's an interesting conversation to have. And, you know, he's at the forefront. He's very popular. He's very, very popular. And the things that he says and does resonate, especially with younger kids. So great stuff there with Soap On. And if for some reason this is your first time with the podcast, I am John Corrales, Reds Army underscore John on Twitter. Follow me, interact with me, talk to me. I talk back with everybody. I try to have conversations as well. So if you are a first-time listener, please subscribe. And I hope you enjoy the show, because we've got many others like this coming along down the pipeline. We're here for you throughout the offseason, the draft, summer league. We'll be there, you know, with podcasts recorded from Las Vegas. We'll be here throughout free agency with Marcus Smart stuff and everything. So subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts. We're everywhere. We're on Spotify. We're literally anywhere you can get a podcast. You should be able to get the Locked On Celtics podcast. Just search Locked On Celtics and get that wherever you get your podcast. If you are a subscriber and you have been, really appreciate you sticking with the team. I hope this show is good enough for you to give us that 5-star rating and a good review. And I hope you are willing to share the podcast with your friends, your neighbors, everybody. Tell them they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.